You may never look your city, town, or its people the same way ever again. Stained by Blood, a murder investigation based upon a true story by private investigator Douglas J. Hagman. Using the character Mark Stiles, Hagman takes you on a journey behind the scenes where the homicide becomes secondary to an underworld of satanic ritual abuse, child abduction, and even mind-controlled experimentation. A world dismissed as conspiracy by those who want to keep its secrets hidden, exposing the dangers, denials, and deceptions. For 5 years, a brutal killer remained on the loose, free to kill again. As Mark struggles to navigate the maze of bizarre twists and untangle a web of deeply hidden secrets kept by some of the most powerful and influential people in his community and beyond. You may never look at your city, town, or its people the same way ever again. Stained by Blood. Order your copy of this engaging novel today at HagmanandHagman.com and click on the link. Stained by Blood.
And ladies and gentlemen of the jury, the prosecution is not going to get that man today. No. Because I'm going to get him.
Welcome to this episode of the Hagman Report. We're coming to you live. That's right, live on this Memorial Day 2016 from our radio and television studios located here in beautiful Northwest Pennsylvania, where we broadcast every Monday through Friday from 7 p.m. to 10 p.m. Eastern Time, our flagship station, Global Star Radio Network. Todd at the helm there. I want to say thank you so much to Global Star, allowing us to get the information out even on a holiday. He's working double time, overtime for certain. Thank you so much. We're also simulcast on Blog Talk Radio. You can watch us live and by archive on their YouTube channel. And folks, links to both audio and video broadcasting venues can be found on their home base on HagmanandHagman.com. HagmanReport.com is for show prep, news, information, analysis. Doug Hagman at the helm solo tonight. Joe's got the night off. What's wrong with this picture? I'm the senior guy. Shouldn't I have the night off? Want to be with you. I can't think of anywhere I'd prefer to be than right here with you, all of you. And word has it, when I announced the program today, I must have got, about a dozen, 10 to 12 anyway, emails saying, hey, you're broadcasting live at our picnic by the pool. So those of you who are grilling it up, swimming, sunning, whatever, thanks for tuning in. Got a great show for you lined up tonight. I'm going to dig into some things this will be a good show for preparatory analysis. This will be a good show to explain sometimes what we have a tendency just to gloss over, maybe don't get into as heavily. You know, things Paul McGuire talks about, makes reference to, things that Russ Dizdar talks about. Now, Russ gets into many, many things very heavily, but we reference these things, but really don't spend much time on them. And you know, I think back about 10 years ago and where I was, and I look at my thought process, and I realize how slow up the bat I was. Let me just say this. If that's you, then this program's for you. Now, if that's not you, if you know all of this, the background, then consider this a refresher and perhaps some information that you maybe didn't know. But folks, the mark is on its way. The mark of the beast, it's on its way. You know, we've got economic disasters facing us all over the place. We've got, and I've gone over and over and over and over the agenda of the satanic Luciferian elite. You know, looking at the landscape today, the globalist landscape, or the landscape across the world, we're looking at a centralized global control as the only solution. At least that's what they're telling us. That's the only way. It's a problem, reaction, solution. Global economic recession. And basically destruction, like the Phoenix. They've got to take the United States out. The G7 just met in Japan. By the way, Eric the Tech was here, and he just said hi to everyone, and he's actually... Thanks, Eric. Even Eric the Tech's working on Memorial Day 2016. Plugging me in. But the G7 this past week met in Japan, and in case you didn't hear about this, they are talking, well, they're talking about the current economic landscape, and they're saying, hey, you know what, things are looking just like they did back in 2008. Mm-hmm. When Lehman, with the death of Lehman. But in this case, they're saying, they're indicating that there's not going to be any bailouts. They're going to be bail-ins, and the bail-ins are going to basically consist of you and I and anyone who's got money in the bank. You know, it's about time now. So many people have said, boy, the fall of 2016, the third quarter, 2016, gonna really create a lot of, I mean, it's gonna be a time of trouble, the summer and leading into the fall. Well, this week is the beginning of June, marks the beginning of June, and of course, we're seeing the satanic elite, the satanic Temple of Satan now, celebrating 6/6/16 next Monday in L.A., Los Angeles, in that area. We're seeing a convergence of events, and I'd spoken to Pastor David Langford, and one of the messages, or a message that he got 4 years ago in 2012, was a message of acceleration after he had fasted. And he had told me this the other day on the phone. He said, you know, things will be accelerating. Now, he was quick to mention, too, when I spoke with him, that acceleration, yes, on the world stage, events on the world stage, absolutely. But he said, don't forget to apply it to yourself, meaning us, you and me and... What does that mean? Well, maybe things, have you noticed, and I'm asking every listener right now, have you noticed things accelerating in your life? I have. It's not just because I'm getting older, but I've seen it. Right now we're seeing the arrested development of the Luciferians, the power brokers coming out. They could care less about you and I. just their agenda, which we're going to get deep into. Before I do, though, I just want to make mention, you know, today is Memorial Day. What's it all about? Is it about picnics and going to the beach? And sure it is. At least to the millennials. But what's Memorial Day all about? Do you know the history of Memorial Day? Is it necessary that we revisit the history of Memorial Day? Well, we don't have to. But just to understand the meaning, and you can look this up. I mean, it doesn't take, it's a federal holiday. Of course, today is Monday, and you feel like it's a Sunday, right? It's a Monday. But it was designated here in the United States for remembering those who died while serving in the country's armed forces. It started out by Decoration Day. That was right after the Civil War. That's when graves of the dead of the Union War were decorated with flowers and wreaths and such. Well, by the next century, by the 20th century, competing Union and Confederate holiday traditions celebrated on different days. They merged, and Memorial Day eventually extended to honor all Americans who died while in the military service. Now, and Wikipedia notes this, and do not, for example, confuse this with Veterans Day. It's easily done. But Memorial Day is a day of remembering the men and women who died while serving. Now, that automatically made me think of those Navy SEALs shot down in Extortion 17, Charlie Strange and his family. You know, we still haven't gotten any good answers about Extortion 17. The final flight of the men who died. And I'd like to dedicate this tonight to the memory of those who were killed in the deadliest helicopter crash in the history of the U.S. Special Operations. Why? Why did it happen? If you don't know what I'm talking about, it was just a couple of minutes past 2 o'clock in the morning on August 6th of 2011. Just south of Kabul, Afghanistan, the rotors of two U.S. Army Chinook helicopters, well, they began to turn, and there were no lights except for the faint glow of the night vision goggles and the cockpit instrument panels. Two helicopters, call signs Extortion 17, Extortion 17, and 16, by the way, lifted off, and they were headed for a location just 20 miles west. The whole thing was kind of fruity, the way it happened, or the occupants of the helicopters. Extortion 17, for example, well, 38 occupants in Extortion 17, never to return. So the story is that a Taliban fighter shot down the helicopter with a rocket-propelled grenade, and everyone aboard were killed. Now, this was the single greatest loss of American life in the war in Afghanistan. In that helicopter, Extortion 17, were 30 of the world's most highly trained and experienced commandos, 15 men from Gold Squadron of the Naval Special Warfare Department Group. You might know them as SEAL Team 6. And don't forget, just 3 months earlier, members of a counterpart SEAL Team 6 squadron, well, they were involved in the raid in Pakistan that killed, allegedly, Osama bin Laden. Of course, that raid and that killing of bin Laden occurred at the very same time of the dust-up regarding the birth certificate of Barack Hussein Obama, the guy in the White House. You know, it's interesting because when you do research about Extortion 17, it's difficult to find any print material that does not talk about conspiracy theories regarding the shootdown. They assail anything but the official narrative. And I go back and I look, and it says, well, you know, I mean, some people say, or some authors and print space say, well, the Taliban were tipped off. It was a trap. It was retribution for the takedown of bin Laden. But right away, it's, oh, no evidence has emerged to support any of these claims. And they always come out and say, well, two rigorous U.S. military investigations. Well, they followed the movement, every movement of the mission to determine what went wrong, and everything just, it was just a tragic accident. It was just a tragic event. Nothing more to see here. Nah, it's not true, though. We know it's not true. Perhaps Memorial Day 2016 is much like or could be compared to the memory of the occupants or the dead soldiers of Extortion 17. Captured and taken down from within. Infiltrated and taken down from within. And that's exactly what's happening with our country today. I want you to think and pray, please, for those people in the service. And those, you know, we often are quick to paint with broad brushes about soldiers, police officers. Isn't it funny sometimes how we just do that, how we make generalizations and say, well, there are, you know, the police officers, they're all bad. If you're a Fed, you got to be, you know, you got to be in on the conspiracy. No, you don't. And I think the members of SEAL Team 6, to me anyway, represent quality individuals who believed in the country of their country, the United States, and who were attempting to do the right thing, be patriotic, make a difference, be everything that they should stand for or should have stood for. And those are the patriots who we honor today, the dead. It's sad because we see, and I don't know how many people have out there have seen the desecration of memorials of late, this Memorial Day. And you might think it's not really a big deal. A memorial, for example, the Vietnam Memorial out in, I believe it was California, desecrated with graffiti. It but it's a symptom. Ladies and gentlemen, this is a symptom. InfoWars InfoWars had a Mark Dice, of course, you know Mark Dice, right? They ran one of Mark Dice's videos. Now, I've got mixed feelings about these videos because you can go, it depends on who you ask and where you ask these questions, but the headline on InfoWars is Americans have no idea what Memorial Day is. San Diegans think military holiday is about LGBT issues. Neil Armstrong, emancipation, and so on, okay? And I look at this, and I don't know about you folks, I look at this, and we look at this, and I can go out and find the most ridiculous, I mean, people, and get the most ridiculous explanations. Depends on who you ask, and where you ask it. I mean, you can always, there are mind-numb zombies out there. And we're going to be getting into this as the program unfolds. I really want to take you down this road of not just who the power brokers are and what their agenda is, but the methods that they use. But back to what I was saying, it's ridiculous. The dumbing down of Americans is obvious. But, I mean, I don't know. I can't imagine. Can you imagine? Folks, if you're listening to this, and I know those people are listening to this, know exactly what Memorial Day is all about, but let me ask this to you. Would your son or your daughter have a hard time understanding, or would they say, well, yeah, Memorial Day, oh yeah, that's about freeing the slaves and the end of the Civil War. You know, I don't think so. InfoWars goes on. A woman, I'll just back up here a little bit. A man wearing a red shirt and a hat. Well, let me back up even more. When Mark Dice asked San Diegans what they thought about the military holiday was about, the response was just all over the place. He first asked a young lady, so what's the purpose of Memorial Day? She refused to even come up with an answer, saying, do I have to do this? Another man is then told that Memorial Day is about celebrating the repeal of Don't Ask, Don't Tell and the inclusiveness of the LGBT community. And the guy says, yeah, well, I love the LGBT community. I'm all about it. Yeah. Dice asked another guy, you know, what's the purpose of Memorial Day? His response, no clue. That's my answer. And somebody else says, well, I'm going to have to sit down and think about it before I could really tell you what it's all about. Do you know people like that? Maybe it's your periphery, but I don't think the people listening to this program would say, oh, yeah, I know. Because I'm sure you folks have set them straight. A man, and this goes on, and it's rather disheartening, but a guy wearing a red shirt and a hat agrees that it was right for the government to cancel NASA's annual Memorial Day celebration of Neil Armstrong walking on the moon. I mean, this is how ridiculous this gets. And a woman, of course, what does Memorial mean to you? It's a day off work on a Monday. And then she agrees that the government is right to cancel that holiday if it's in the best interest of the country. You see how mind-numbed people are? true celebrations about our heritage, it's in decline. They're in decline. How many people out there visited a gravesite today of your fallen, of anyone who is a fallen soldier? How many? Numbers thrown around suggest less than 5%. Based on a 2000 Gallup poll, only two-thirds of Americans knew exactly what Memorial Day was all about. 11 years later, a survey found that some 80% of Americans had confessed to having little or only some knowledge of the holiday itself. Well, there you have it. Of course, don't worry. Politics will save us. Politicians will save us. Hey, you and the T-shirt, I'll take that. It looks pretty good. That hamburger there looks pretty good. You know, put some cheese on it. And I see another person flipping a steak. Boy, I haven't seen a porterhouse in a long time. I'm just kidding. Of course, going along with the celebrations of Memorial Day, thank you so much for bringing me out to your picnic. And for those who are home alone, no party, no grill, it's okay too. I look around here, I don't see a grill. I don't see any fixins. Just Lady the studio dog, napping by my feet. Pretty heavy program tonight, because I do believe this will be our last Memorial Day before changes. What kind of changes? I'm talking about changes in the way we do things, in the way we celebrate holidays. There's a lot of time, a lot of real estate between now and next Memorial Day of 2017. It's going to come quickly. But we still have some time. And I do believe that there will be some changes to the extent where this country will not look like it does today. Well, and you might say, well, geez. Yeah, so what? But, you know, I hope it doesn't look like it does today. Maybe we can make it better. Well, yeah, I do too. But that's going to have to come from the bottom up, not from the top down. And I, it was this past weekend, folks, and I hope everyone had a great weekend. And don't forget, today's Monday. Okay, you got to think about this now. Those people who had work off, just keep reminding yourself, today's Monday. Tomorrow's Tuesday. It's easy to get caught up thinking today's Sunday, right? I was speaking with some people this past weekend and talking about things. Talking about the politics of, about Trump and about Clinton and about Sanders and about the conventions. And, well, there's a lot of hope out there by people, from people who believe that Trump will win, and of course he'll make a difference. He'll reverse some executive orders and such. And I'm not, folks, I don't know how you feel. I'm not so sure that's going to happen. Looking heavily and studying very, very heavily into this research, doing a lot of research this past weekend as well. I'm not sure we are going to. I'm not sure it's going to be normal, I guess. I don't know if things are going to be normal. I do expect, and I was speaking also with a police officer from a nearby city in Cleveland, or near Cleveland, who just got back from a lengthy course in riot control. Here's information from this individual. I'll just call him Jay. He said, We spent, and this was direct, I mean, face-to-face meeting. He said we spent 2 weeks, well, actually 10 days, training on certain riot gear, using acoustical weapons, using tasered riot shield, riot shields with tasers, using pepper spray, rubber bullets and beanbags fired from guns. He was told by the Department of Homeland Security, who sponsored the training, DHS sponsored the training, he was told that, told to expect riots and the possibility that he would have to shoot the people if they rioted and attacked. I don't know how else. I mean, that's pretty blunt. That's just the way it was, or the way, you know, he said. And of course we're going to be up there covering the outside of the conventions, multiple Republican and Democrat, but they intend to beef up security and it's going to be pretty tight. There was discussion, according to Jay, at the DHS training course, that they do fear for the safety of the RNC candidates, or the RNC delegates, and they fear for the safety of those attending, and including and especially the presumptive nominee. At this point, it's Donald Trump. As if that's news, right? But when you hear it from a source like that, so you gotta know that they're expecting problems. And he gave me some words of advice. He said, look, don't get caught up, and it will be easy if you do plan on attending, and this goes for everyone. You could get caught up in a situation where you're on virtual lockdown, even if you're in an open air location. Meaning to say, you might not be able to cross Euclid Avenue, for example, or wherever. It doesn't matter if you got a press pass, unless you've got the credentials, the law enforcement credentials, you might be stuck where you're at until things settle down. I've heard some other things about the Democratic convention. However, I'm trying to authenticate that information and speak to someone who is being trained there as well, and I'll have more for you on that later. But with respect to the Republican convention, you can expect, and the other thing too is they're expecting upwards of 500 people who have been paid for directly from the I want to be very careful when I say this, the organizations who are Soros related organizations, all right. Black Lives Matter, for example, a number of people from other groups related to that will be up there as well. Maybe we'll meet and interview some of those. And of course, Obama did today for Memorial Day, just back to back up a little bit. You know, he did, of course, make a token few words. But let's not forget that, like his predecessors, he is playing golf and, well, while veterans are dying at an alarming rate. All right. I just want to round that out with Memorial Day and some other issues that are related to upcoming things. This week, we have a good week lined up for you. Wednesday, Paul McGuire is going to be with us. That's June 1st. Thursday, pastor, author, spokesperson, Carl Gallups is going to be on with us on Thursday. And Friday will be Steve Quayle, and Tom and Nita Horn. Tuesday, of course, Stan Deo, tomorrow, second, or last hour. Full week. So, Wednesday, the 1st of June, Paul McGuire is going to be sitting with us, spending the entire show, talking about what's going on in Los Angeles on 6616, which we will get into. Carl Gallops on Thursday, and then Steve Quayle, Tom, and Nita Horn. They're going to be an extremely important program. Information that you don't really have. So, tune in. Emails coming in fast and furiously. just got an email. Thank you so much for this. Speaking of the RNC and DMC, or DNC, this emailer is on the hazmat and special response team for DHS. We're going to saturate the RNC more than the DNC. They're going, in fact, the RNC in full riot gear. And they're preparing for a much more violent time than Ferguson. So consider that. It's an all-out war, folks. An all-out war coming up to a town, to Cleveland. Very interesting. And again, I want to thank everyone who's joining us now for on your Memorial Day weekend. If you're having a picnic, thanks for bringing me along. No place I'd rather be than with you folks tonight. News, other news, and on the top of the hour, I'm going to get deep into the end game of the New World Order and how quickly it's going to come upon us. But to round out this hour, I just want to touch a little bit. You know, it seems like the headlines of the murdered gorilla have been dominating the news. I mean, it's a horrible, horrible series of events. In case you don't know what I'm talking about, you can find the headlines everywhere where there's a video of a gorilla. It's a 400-pound gorilla who was fatally shot after a 4-year-old boy crawled past the railing, fell 15 feet into the gorilla exhibit moat, and ultimately the gorilla was shot and killed. A 17-year-old gorilla named Harambe. And, this happened, by the way, in Cincinnati. And it's interesting because the reaction to this, you know what? There's greater reaction about the murder of the gorilla, which, by the way, is tragic. Then there is reaction to the abortions that occur every day. Now I understand. I do fully understand about. I mean, the gorilla. Hey, something like this doesn't happen every day, but abortions do. But isn't it interesting how the mind has been trained? We have been trained to care more about animals than unborn children. And I believe when I'm looking at this, and why am I even talking about this? Well, it's because of a particular mindset of people, of Americans, or people in the West. About animals and believe me, I love dogs. I love my dog, and I just I mean, for goodness sakes, nothing. I would want nothing to happen with my dog. And I love animals, too. And it saddens me about the gorilla. However, in relative to the way things are, shouldn't we be caring a little bit more about our fellow human beings, and especially the unborn children, than a gorilla? And again, I'm talking about perspective. That's all. Just perspective. And I know things happen. I know that when you have young children, I know things happen. Kids get away from you. You look away for a second. Man, bam, they're gone. But something tells me that it would take a little doing for a four-year-old to circumvent the enclosures and the preventative measures that the zoo would have had. I mean, it's not like you just open a gate and walk in and, you know, drop down. No. Anyway, so I said that only because the mother who was there, the parents who were there, saying, well, you know, hey. And even the zoo is trying to do some damage control. But at this point, I mean, aside from putting in perspective the murder of this gorilla or the killing of this gorilla versus what we see taking place all around us every day, what we acknowledge but really never push, the wholesale slaughter of innocents, I mean, in that perspective, I just see this as just it's a sign of the times. There's news of this disfiguring tropical disease that's sweeping across the Middle East. I don't know how many people have seen this. If you've seen photographs of this very disfiguring tropical disease, it's pretty bad. The medical authorities are saying, well, it's a result of a number of things. It's a breakdown of the healthcare facilities in ISIS-occupied areas. It's a parasite, actually, in the bloodstream that's transmitted through sand fly bites. The disease results in horrible open sores, skin lesions. You look at it, and you look at the pictures, and it's like... It's almost like a rotting of flesh. It's been endemic in Syria for centuries and was once commonly known as Aleppo evil. But when you take the Syrians out of Syria because of the interaction by the U.S. and Western intelligence agencies through civil war, through causing this, well, what do you get? You're importing this... all of these diseases that were once only privy to or only existed in Syria. So now we're seeing it come really everywhere. It's being spread everywhere. And you've got to know that the Syria's healthcare system, devastated by all of the turmoil, the conflict, the war. But where did this war come from? Well, obviously, we know the answer to that. This is just kind of icing on the globalist cake. This epidemic is spreading in refugee camps and certainly is expected to hit the United States. Anyway, just to let you know, as we run up to the elections, Hillary Rodham Clinton, She appears to be outrunning the prosecution, whether it be the email investigation, whether it's the Benghazi criminal actions. She appears to be adeptly handling the FBI, the Justice Department. Of course, that's not too hard to do when they're on your side anyway. If you look back in the news this past week, you'll see that there were depositions, a couple of depositions taken about Hillary's email issues. Some interesting statements that were made by low-level assistants. Bottom line, yeah, there's a problem. But again, the bottom line is the fact that she'll outrun, it would appear, she will outrun all of these scandals, these criminal actions. And if you don't believe me, I go back to the cover and the calendar in the 2016 Economist. Don't forget Hillary, Diane Rodham Clinton's the only person on the cover of that magazine, which tells me in totality, as I've investigated and researched and looked at all the possibilities, I don't know if Trump will make it. And when I say that, I'm not talking, I would say he would legitimately make it. Yes, absolutely. He would be voted in absent of hanky-panky and shenanigans, or something even worse. What I'm saying is, yeah, that's a real possibility to me. In my analysis, investigative analysis, and looking at how, again, looking at the arrested development of the Luciferian elite, yeah, I wouldn't put anything past the operatives. The tactics? Tactics are coming up. Because you're seeing it, the tactics being used right now. Johnny Depp. Does that name ring a bell? What movie? Well, the Alice in Wonderland movies and other... Well, what movie did Johnny Depp just play in? Help me out here. Something to do with Alice, right? You see, and of course he's involved in a scandal with Amber Heard, the divorce. But the reason I bring him up, and in fact I was listening to another radio broadcaster this past Saturday night, he was talking about Johnny Depp and about how Hollywood is actually helping to form and frame our perception. And again, next hour, I'll get deep into that. But anyway, if you look at his resume, through, for example, the IMDb, the International Movie Database. Why is this important? Because we know that news is really entertainment in a sense. The powers that exist behind the curtain are using headlines to send messages. And I know how loony that sounds. My goodness, you know, put him up in a straitjacket. But they are doing a lot to send messages through headlines, but the headlines perhaps are not exactly what you think they mean. And of course, the entertainment industry is actually being used to send the real news or news . And isn't it interesting that Johnny Depp is in the news now, and of course of the movie I was trying to think, Alice Through the Looking Glass. It just came out. Alice returns to the whimsical world of Wonderland and travels back in time to save the Mad Hatter. And of course, the movie kind of bombed in its opening. Johnny Depp playing the lead character, and now, of course, he's involved in some interesting events. What's that tell us? What does that have to do with anything we're talking about? Have you lost your mind, Doug? Well, no, I believe, as some others do as well, what we're seeing here is a series of real-time, through-the-looking-glass events. We're looking at transhumanism. We're looking at mind control. We're looking at the continuation and the refinement of various products or projects from years ago now accelerating. And there's that word again, accelerating, or being accelerated to an end. The end is, as I stated at the beginning of the show, the mark of the beast. It's on its way. It's going to come through economic disaster, at least at the epicenter. It's going to come through a centralization of, global control will be the only solution to our economic woes. Because, you see, the economic disaster, the economic takedown is not going to be just in America. It's going to be throughout the world. It's going to be worldwide. So, we've got to create a worldwide solution, and in comes the One World Economic Order. And think about this as we are minutes from the top of the hour. Think about this. You know, associated with the events of 9/11, there were many headlines, much talk about a global economic recession right before 9/11. Go look through the newspapers. Watch the accounts on television. And 9/11 happened, and at the epicenter of 9/11, or 9/11, it solidified. 9/11 was a tool, in my view, that used trauma-based mind control to get everyone to accept the fact that we, in the West, and in America in particular, we're going to need to conform. We are going to need to conform to a global system. You see, mind control is at the real root of all of this. Trauma-based mind control is at the root of our, at least in my view, our it's being used to convince us that we need to accept this savior, this global savior. And a large part of that is the economic part of it. Don't forget New York City, the most talked about location of all locations on 9/11, striking the heart of the American economy at the World Trade Center, bringing both towers down. And we know that 9/11 was really a satanic ritual. We know that 9/11 was not, nothing about 9/11 was really what it seemed, or very little, and it was planned far in advance. But trauma-based mind control, laying the groundwork for the next, well, for the remainder of the show, to tell you exactly why we're seeing things happen in the way that they're happening. So for those who understand, and I use this phrase again, the arrested development and the perversion of the Luciferians, this will be a refresher, and also go deeper into it. And for those who have no clue, hang tight, because you're going to get, a good education. Folks, you're listening to Doug Hagman flying solo on this Memorial Day. May God bless each and every one of you. Thanks for joining us. Thank you for joining me. Stay right where you're at.
This is the Global Star Radio Network.